Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the National Employment Network call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. If you would like to ask a question during the presentation, please use the chat feature located in the lower left corner of your screen. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, January 8, 2015. I would now like to turn the conference over to Michelle Lazur. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and Happy New Year, everyone. We hope all of your holidays were merry, and we are getting ready for a great year. So thank you for joining us for our All-EN call today. We have a full agenda, really some excellent updates and information to share with you. To start off, we actually we have a speaker from BAS, Mike Greenberg, who will be providing to us today the 2014 Beneficiary Satisfaction Survey results. We will be taking a few questions right after his presentation, but we will consolidate all of the questions and those that we get from the chat line and the questions we receive after his presentation in an answer and question paper we'll make available to all of our participants. So at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Mike Greenberg, Lead Associate at BAS, to share with us the survey results from 2014. Mike?
Thanks very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Before I get too far down the road, just a clarification, this is the 2013 survey that we're reporting on. The 2014 survey is getting ready to launch shortly, so I know it's a little odd to keep the year straight, but we number the surveys on the basis of when we recruited, when we established our survey year. So so I'll start off again. Good afternoon. I'm here on behalf of the BAS team to report on the results of the third consecutive nationwide survey measuring the satisfaction of Social Security beneficiaries who have assigned their tickets to an employment network through the Ticket to Work program. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Thank you. Just a little background. For those not familiar, when the original Ticket to Work legislation required that the Commissioner of Social Security review the services that employment networks provide by conducting periodic surveys of beneficiaries whom these ENs served. The surveys are designed to measure customer service satisfaction. The results of these periodic surveys are made available to beneficiaries who are prospective recipients of services as they choose employment networks. And as you may know, that on the what's known as the EN profile, there is room for those ENs who had a sufficient number of beneficiaries responding and reporting on their satisfaction. We do post those scores on the EN profile. I'll get into that a little further into the presentation. Like previous editions of the survey, we focused on meeting the following objectives. We wanted to increase the number and percentage of beneficiaries who are responding to the survey. We want to increase the number of employment networks that have individual reportable scores. We want to make the results actionable for Social Security. And then finally, we want to get more insight in the beneficiaries' experience and get some timely feedback from them. Next slide, please. So what does the survey actually measure? So the survey measures beneficiary satisfaction with the employment networks that provided job placement and employment assistance services. And we measure the satisfaction along three dimensions: overall satisfaction with the EN, satisfaction with the services and information that the EN provided, and satisfaction with the EN staff. Now, those dimensions are measured through a series of 8 survey questions, and we'll take a look at those questions a little later in the presentation. The survey itself actually goes beyond just satisfaction And we also captured some information on beneficiaries' considerations before they assign their ticket. In last year's survey, the 2013 survey, we asked the beneficiaries some questions about their shopping habits. To what extent did they interview other employment networks or VR agency before they settled on the employment network that they're being asked to report on? We got some information on the services that the beneficiary and the EN agreed were needed. We get some feedback on their perceptions of services that were actually received and the services that they expect to receive in the future. And we get some information from those beneficiaries we get information from beneficiaries about the qualities and the characteristics of what they liked and what they didn't like, particularly about their service providers, and you know what improvements would they recommend. We also get information in the survey from those beneficiaries who work, and we get some feedback on the role that the employment network played in getting the beneficiary that job, and we collect some information on salaries and benefits, just to get a sense of what that employment experience is looking like. Next slide, please. So let's take a look at our survey sample. Who was in the sample? There was a two-stage sampling method that we used. We first stratified employment networks by size, and then we did some random assigning. I'm not going to read this particular slide to you, but as you can see, I guess I'm going to read part of it to you. The beneficiaries who were selected for the survey, there was a random sample of a little over 27,000. We recruited beneficiaries whose tickets were currently assigned to an employment network for 3 months or more. And we set a three-month standard because we wanted to make sure that the beneficiary has had some relationship established with the employment network, by the time we reach out and recruit them for the survey. Excluded from the survey, beneficiaries whose tickets were assigned for fewer than 3 months, beneficiaries who, for one reason or another, we couldn't verify assignment data, beneficiaries who had unassigned their tickets. So there are no beneficiaries in this survey who had subsequently unassigned their ticket. And, of course, we don't survey beneficiaries whose tickets are in use or assigned to a state vocational rehabilitation agency. Next slide, please. We fielded the survey March 27, 2014 through July 3rd. And in previous years, we've used a sequential outreach strategy to engage respondents. We do a series of multiple mailings. Last year, we actually did a third mailing. And we also do a targeted telephone outreach. And our targeted telephone outreach has to do with making sure we can get maximize the number of employment networks for whom we can get individual scores. And that goes back to what I said a little earlier. In order to have an individual score reported, an employment network has to have had a minimum of 25 beneficiaries responding. So we target those beneficiaries who are with employment networks, who are really on the cusp, who are within striking distance where we think we can capture those 25 responses. We make telephone calls in both English and Spanish. Next slide, please. So let's look at the response. We received a total of 7,862 surveys, and these are surveys that were completed in full or at least had 50% of all the essential questions completed. And as you can see from the table, most of the respondents responded by mail, printed versions of our survey. About a third chose to respond to the online version of the survey, And about 4% of the respondents responded when we reached out by telephone and requested permission to complete the survey online. Compared to the prior year survey, we've actually increased by 10% the number of respondents. If we look at the survey from the standpoint of the number of employment networks that are being reported on, a total of 503 employment networks are represented in the survey, and these are employments that are ENs that are serving as few as one beneficiary and as many as more than 200 beneficiaries. The final response rate was 31.6%, so a little nearly one-third of those beneficiaries who were given the opportunity to respond did respond, which is a slight boost up from the prior year's rate of 31.4% response. We did perform a non-response analysis. We looked at the demographics of the beneficiaries who did respond, gender, age, and in particular body systems that accounted for their disability. And we determined that the demographics of those who responded don't differ from those, who are in the general population. So, again, you do that in order to lend more credibility to the results of the survey, making sure that the people who did respond are not markedly different from those, who didn't respond. Next slide, please. As I said, over 500 ENs were in the sample, and this gives you a little snapshot of what those ENs look like. In terms of geographic coverage, as you know, we have ENs that are serving beneficiaries in single states. We have ENs that are serving beneficiaries in multiple states. And then we have ENs that are serving beneficiaries nationwide. The largest percentage of single state ENs are serving fewer than 25 beneficiaries. The majority of the sample, 79%, was comprised of state ENs. And this group of ENs represented more than half, 54%, of all the reportable ENs. Correspondingly, there's a higher proportion of survey respondents, 79%, whose ticket was assigned to a state-based EN. So it's an interesting snapshot here of just how the sample broke out in terms of the size of the employment network, that is, how many beneficiaries they are serving, and the geographic coverage that their particular business model was delivering. Next slide, please. Okay, I know you have a pretty full agenda today, so I want to give you the highlights of the survey results up front, and then we can dig down a little bit after we run through the highlights. As a whole, beneficiaries respond from the 2013 Ticket to Work Beneficiary Satisfaction Survey were generally satisfied with their employment network, although nearly one-third, about 30%, reported being completely or somewhat dissatisfied. Satisfaction tends to follow employment status, which you would expect to see where the intended result of the beneficiary-provider relationship is a job. That is to say, quite plainly, that working beneficiaries tend to be more satisfied than beneficiaries who are not working. Just over one-third, about 35% of those responding, report that they are working, which is a lower rate of employment than what was reported last year, lower rate by 8 points. Gross wages among this group remain low, with nearly 3 out of 4 earning below $20,000 per year. This level of earnings is no doubt tied to the number of hours worked, as nearly all reporting work, 95%, reported that they are part-time workers earning below $20,000. Among full-time workers, and we use the same definition of the Affordable Care Act in defining part-time and full-time, 30 hours a week, 70% reported earning between $20,000 and $39,999. 9% reported making $40,000 or more annually, and 1% claimed that they were performing volunteer or unpaid work. There continues to be a gap between the percentage of beneficiaries reporting that they need help finding a job and the percentage who report that they received employment-directed services. Let's look at the next slide, please. This first bullet is in reference to the EN attributes section of the survey. That's the part of the survey that I mentioned where beneficiaries told us what they liked, what they didn't like in terms of the qualities of the EN. Most favorable, according to survey respondents, were the respectfulness of Employment Network staff, Employment Network location, and its hours of operation. Elements that were said to be most in need of improvement were the ability of the Employment Network to provide information about local jobs, delays in providing follow-up services after the initial interview, and help during job search. And insofar as we're able to make some direct comparisons between the results from the 2012 survey and the 2013 survey, we found that overall mean satisfaction scores were slightly higher in 2013. Fewer beneficiaries reported that they needed help finding a job in 2013, and there were increases in the likability scores in 2013 in terms of EN's location and the responsiveness of their staff. Next slide, please. There's a section of the survey that we call the voice of the beneficiary because it's an opportunity that we give the beneficiary, the respondents, to tell us in open text, how they think the program could be improved. Roughly 70% of the respondents provided open-ended comments about how to improve the ticket program. That totaled about 5,100 respondents. We did a random sample of 3,800 comments and analyzed those comments. We did some screening, and about 2,900 valid comments were coded and analyzed. When we say valid comments, a lot of times people really didn't offer any, were not very responsive to the request, which is they didn't really offer any suggestions for improving. In some cases, they were just comments without any direction involved. But when we looked at these qualitative open-ended comments, we found four major themes in terms of areas that needing improvement. Beneficiaries saying that there needed to be more job placement and employee assistance services with more help from their EN staff in keeping a job, and EN's offering a wider range of job training and educational opportunities. There were comments regarding the need for improvement of soft skills, motivation, and improvement of the qualifications of EN staff. There were concerns regarding communication between beneficiaries and EN staff. And again, there were some comments regarding how to make the processes themselves. A lot of these had to do with things such as wage reporting, how these processes are in need of improvement, and how, in their opinion, we should improve these processes. Again, as we get into the presentation just a little further, we're going to bore down a little bit and talk a lot more about these highlights. So let's look at the next slide. So I said that satisfaction is called out through eight specific questions. Beginning with the next slide, we're going to look at the satisfaction results. Here are the satisfaction measures. We have a question on overall satisfaction with the Employment Network. We have three questions that speak to satisfaction with Employment Network staff. We ask about the respectfulness of the staff. We ask about the knowledge of staff members whom the beneficiary interacted with. And we ask about the ability of staff members to support the beneficiary in terms of meeting his or her employment goals. We also asked several questions about satisfaction with the services that the Employment Network provided and otherwise information that they made available. So we asked specifically about the types of services provided, satisfaction with the types of services provided by the Employment Network, satisfaction with the ability of my Employment Network to help me understand the types of jobs that were available in my community, satisfaction with the information my Employment Network gave me about other agencies in my community that could help me reach my employment goal, and satisfaction with the usefulness of the services from my employment network in terms of helping me meet my employment goals. Let's look at some of these questions specifically. Next slide, please. So the first question deals with overall satisfaction, and overall beneficiaries are relatively satisfied with their employment network. The mean satisfaction rating was a 3.45 on a 5-point scale. So this score falls somewhat between the neutral, neither satisfied nor dissatisfied, and the more positive category of somewhat satisfied. When we did some comparative analysis, we found that there was really very little correlation between satisfaction rate and program type. That is to say, we looked at beneficiaries, whether they were receiving SSDI, SSI, or both types of benefits, and we saw very, very little and no statistical significance between their program and how they rated on satisfaction. Overall, beneficiaries whose disability was a type of mental disorder showed higher rates of satisfaction compared to those whose disability involved the musculoskeletal system. And we also compared beneficiaries with representative payees where the payee was responding to the survey and beneficiaries with rep payees where the beneficiary was responding to the survey. Across all satisfaction measures, we found that representative payees were considerably more likely to report the beneficiary being satisfied. So it's an interesting part of the survey where we're trying to get a sense of, you know, to what extent does the representative payee compare to beneficiaries, you know, to what extent are they knowledgeable, and what are their opinions of what of the employment network's performance. Next slide, please. The three survey questions that relate to the EN staff have received the highest ratings across all satisfaction aspects. A majority of the beneficiaries provided positive feedback regarding the respectfulness of the staff at their EN. 3/4, 75% of beneficiaries stated they're either completely satisfied or somewhat satisfied. The mean satisfaction score was 4.14 on a 5-point scale, and this was the highest among all the satisfaction questions. And I should point out that in previous year surveys, satisfaction with EN staff has always been the highest, most highly rated element of the survey. Next slide, please. When compared across all the aspects that we measure satisfaction, beneficiaries reported being least satisfied with the ability of their employment network to provide information and services needed to achieve their employment and financial goals. Despite this, the survey results indicate beneficiaries' ratings of the satisfaction with services and information were generally more positive than negative. In regard to the usefulness of the services provided by their EN in helping beneficiaries meet their employment goals, over half, 53%, reported being either completely satisfied, 35%, or somewhat satisfied, 18%. Just under one-third, 31% of respondents, reported being either completely dissatisfied, 21%, or somewhat dissatisfied, 10%. Next slide, please. The 2013 Ticket to Work survey asked beneficiaries to report which core services they and their employment network agreed were needed, which services they actually received from their EN, and the services they expected to receive in the future. For each of these categories, respondents were given a list of six services to select from: career planning, help finding a job, job coaching or training, ongoing support to keep a job, help obtaining services from other organizations, and benefits counseling or referral to benefits counseling. Well, for example, almost half, 49%, and I'm looking at the top bars, almost half, 49% of respondents reported that help finding a job was a service that both the respondent and the EN agreed was needed. A third, 33% of beneficiaries reported that their EN provided them with help finding their current job, while a quarter, 25% of respondents, stated they expected to receive help finding a job. Next slide, please. Respondents were asked to rate the strengths and weaknesses of their employment networks across 10 characteristics: hours of operation, location, the ability to provide accessible information, and this would have to do with materials in Braille or large print, typically, the responsiveness of staff in returning phone calls and emails, the quality of services, the amount of time waiting for follow-up services, help provided during the job search, information provided about local jobs, the respectfulness of staff members, and the support received from staff. Now, you can relax. I'm not going to read this entire chart to you, but I'm going to share the information from our, that we gathered in analyzing the outcomes. And we compared, for example, these results in 2013 to results that we obtained in 2012. A comparison of EN services beneficiaries reportedly liked over the last 2 years shows an overall increase in the number of respondents providing likability ratings across all six areas of services. In the 2013 survey, the areas that saw the greatest increase in the number of likability ratings included the location, which rose 11% from 2012, the responsiveness of staff in returning phone calls and emails, 58%, with a 10% increase from the previous year. The areas that saw the least improvement were for providing information in accessible format, which at 44% showed a 44% increase, and the amount of time waiting for follow-up services, with a smaller increase of 3%. So a comparison of the areas that beneficiaries thought needed to be improved between the 2012 and 2013 really showed only very small differences in response. Next slide, please. I said earlier that we asked about the employment status of the respondents. Over one-third, 35%, of beneficiaries responding to the 2013 satisfaction survey said they were currently employed. This is a lower rate of employment than reported during the 2012 survey, when 43% of beneficiaries reported being employed. Now, we recognize the survey is a snapshot in time, and at any point in time, you could have more or fewer beneficiaries being employed. The breakout of those reported being employed by program, 37% were receiving SSDI benefits only, 29% of those reported employed were receiving SSI services benefits only, and 32% were reported working were receiving benefits concurrently. Let's go to the next slide, please. So we did a little dive comparing satisfaction across the 8 satisfaction dimensions by employment network in terms of their geographic coverage. As you can see by this table, beneficiaries who used multi-state and single-state level ENs reported higher rates of satisfaction compared to beneficiaries who were being served by national ENs. Across different groups of ENs, 2 satisfaction questions showed notable differences in satisfaction rates for national ENs. These questions asked respondents to rate their satisfaction with the ability of their EN to help them understand the types of jobs available in their community and the information their EN provided them about other agencies in their community that could help them reach their employment goals. Overall, satisfaction rates really showed minimal differences between these different EN geographic groups. Next slide, please. We did an analysis of satisfaction by the size of the EN, that is to say, the number of beneficiaries they were serving. And what we observed was that uniformly, ENs that serve fewer than 25 beneficiaries have a statistically higher satisfaction rating on all eight measures than do ENs that serve 25 beneficiaries or more. Next slide, please. The next three slides illustrate three questions we asked that were new to this year's survey. The first one, shown here, asked to what extent the beneficiary's goals align with those of the ticket program. So we asked, how much do you agree or disagree with the following statement? It is my goal to reduce or eliminate my reliance on disability benefits with earnings from work. I'm sure that's a statement that all of the ENs will well recognize. Respondents somewhat or strongly agreed with this statement by more than 2-1, more than a 2-1 margin over those who somewhat or strongly disagreed with it, 52% versus 22%. One quarter of the respondents, 25%, were neutral. Next slide, please. This slide and the next explored the shopping habits of beneficiaries before they selected their current EN. So we asked the question, before assigning your ticket to this employment network, did you consider assigning your ticket to another employment network or a state vocational rehabilitation agency? Most respondents reported that they did not consider assigning their ticket to another employment network or a state VR agency, but over a quarter, one-fourth, considered another EN and or a VR agency. So if we look at the next slide, and among those who reported that they did consider another EN, a majority, two-thirds, contacted one or two ENs before assigning their ticket, and over one-quarter reported that they contact as many as five other employment networks. We were very excited at the responses. As I said, these were new questions, and I think, you know, certainly Social Security was interested in getting a sense of to what extent do beneficiaries actually shop around and make some comparisons between service providers. So we were very pleased with the response, and we found the data quite interesting. Next slide, please. Okay, this and the next slide have to do with an aspect of the survey that I mentioned earlier, and it's the aspect that we call the voice of the beneficiary. I said we invited beneficiaries to suggest ways the ticket program could be improved. And again, roughly 70% of those responded did provide open-ended comments. Their suggestions fell into four major themes: improvements needed in job placement and employee assistance services, improvements needed in soft skills, motivation, and the qualifications of the EN staff, communication between client and staff, and suggestions for improvement in ticket program benefits and procedures, and additional services that the program should offer. Let's look at the next slide. A third of the respondents voiced the need for improved job placement and employee assistance services. They reported concerns regarding services helping them find a job. In addition, they questioned EN outreach methods and noted that potential jobs didn't fit previous work experience or education level. The second group of qualitative responses and concerns were related to soft skills, motivation, and qualifications of the EN staff. Beneficiaries were dissatisfied with EN staff lack of motivation in assisting them. Many believe their EN staff lack qualifications and relevant training for working with beneficiaries with disabilities. The third area involved communication problems between Ticket to Work beneficiaries and their ENs. And again, 18% of the commenters spoke to issues, you know, along this theme. Beneficiaries were disappointed with their EN's delayed communication, with some never hearing from their EN again after their initial contact. And finally, a smaller yet notable proportion, 15%, of beneficiaries that requested improvements related to the program policies and range of benefits provided by the Ticket to Work program. So many of them report, you know, called for a need for additional benefits, supports, or services such as medical supplies and family support, and expressed concern over their loss of eligibility for benefits due to their participation in the program. And this, we feel, is, you know, a lack of understanding of how the ticket program operates and how work incentives can, again, operate in concert with the ticket program. So, having read through the slide, I want to return to the first item on the list, which comprised the largest number of comments, 34%. The comments evoked dissatisfaction in such areas as job training and educational opportunities, the quality of the job leads, poor fit for program beneficiaries, lack of advocacy for employment from the EN staff, and lack of help from EN staff in keeping jobs. About one in five comments within this category simply expressed dissatisfaction with their EN's ability to find work for their beneficiaries. I want to relay to you a sample comment. It would be nice to be helped finding a job because signing up with a ticket to work, I thought that's what would happen. Another comment, more help in finding a better job that pays better so I can eventually get off a disability if I get better. We understand, as I'm sure you understand, that these are qualitative, subjective remarks. We don't mean to, you know, put them on the same scale as the quantitative results that the rest of the survey offers. But we think it's important not only to look at what beneficiaries are saying, and we've done our best to, you know, capture and analyze these comments, you know, in ways that we hope you'll find meaningful. Next slide. So we're at the end of the formal presentation. I'm sorry, you know, if I had to rush through, I tried to leave some time for some questions. You know, as Asim said, if we're not able to deal with all of your questions, we have made arrangements to have those questions shipped off to me, and we'll package responses and in a Q&A format, and so that, you know, the whole range of questions and answers can be shared with everybody on the call. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to make this presentation today. I hope you found it informative, and I'm open to some questions. I think we have some time, correct?
Thank you, Mike, for that overview. That was very informative. And we do have several questions in the chat, but we will be sending those to you so that we can provide a document with the answers to all of our listeners. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and move on to our next item on the agenda, which is Melanie Porter. Please give us your update on the BOSS work group.
Great. Thank you, Michelle. This is Melanie Porter, Project Director with BASS. And we know that a lot of you have been participating in the BOSS calls, but if you have not, without rehashing everything that we have gone over in those meetings, we did just want to mention that these have been reinstated. They started again in December, so we've had two meetings. They occur on the first Wednesday of every month from 3 to 4 Eastern. And these announcements are sent out via the same Gov delivery distribution channel that you receive information for these calls. And the purpose of these meetings is for us to be able to come together, the BASS team with all of the service providers, as well as members from AWSEM and Social Security. And we talk about ways that we can collaborate to improve our overall marketing efforts to increase the participation for Ticket to Work participants. And so some of our topics to date have included things such as changes to the beneficiary CDs that will be coming out later this month. We've talked about the reinstatement of ticket mailings that will go out later this year, as well as some potential ideas around social media and including LinkedIn as a platform. And we've also given updates on virtual job fairs that will come out later this year as well. And so we're open to ideas, and the meetings are as productive as people participate. So we just wanted to encourage everyone, if you have not had a chance to join those yet, we do send out the meeting notes as well as a recording to the call. However, it only goes to those who are participating, and the reason why that we're not posting those is because it's, you know, around our beneficiaries. We don't want them having access to our internal discussions, and so it's sent out to meeting participants. So our next meeting will be held on Wednesday, February 4th at 3 o'clock. So we look forward to having you participate and hope you can join us. Thanks, Michelle.
Oh, thank you, Melanie. And again, that next call is February the 4th at 3 o'clock. So please look forward to participating if you have the time to tune in. Charlene Dwyer, you're up next to give us an update on the awesome Veterans Tiger Team. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Hello, everyone. I do want to acknowledge and thank the Employment Network leaders and some veterans organization leaders who have agreed to participate on a Veterans Tiger Team with the focus on helping us to improve Veterans Employment Network outreach to ticket-eligible veterans and also service provision. So your Employment Network peers who have volunteered and who participated on the recent Tiger Team call are Ray Beloyne of Goodwill Industries of Southeastern Wisconsin, John Oliver, Employment Diversity Resource Consultants in California, a newer EN, Melanie McGill and George Ivanhoff from CareerSource Broward, an American Job Center-based employment network, and Michelle McKnight of Pride Industries in California, an Ability One EN provider. And our veterans organization representatives on the team, special thanks to them, Dan Carparel, chairman and founder of Hire Our Heroes, and Bailey Crone, who is the director of technical assistance for the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. So these team members are sharing their knowledge and their expertise in how they serve veterans, how they reach out and engage ticket-eligible veterans. And they've agreed to guide Social Security Administration and Office efforts to increase the knowledge and the ability of the employment network nationally in reaching and serving veterans. We just had our first conference call and really covered a lot of ground. I'll be giving you updates in the future on the team efforts. You'll be seeing the results of those conversations. But next, I'd also like to point out that today we significantly expanded the Veterans Resource information on the Your Ticket to Work website. So if you go to the website, the homepage, click at the top on Related Resources tab, and you will see a listing of all of the areas of veterans information that is there to, increase your knowledge and support your efforts. And so in addition to the previously posted resources for veterans, employers, and service organizations, there are now three new information sections on the website that provide you with, number one, state and local contacts for veteran services, second, training manuals and online toolkits targeted to veterans with disabilities, and especially those who receive both Social Security and veterans benefits, and finally, some key resources for veterans who wish to pursue post-secondary education. And finally, just a heads up to tune in to the February 5th All-EN call. We will be having a presentation from the Department of Labor Office of Strategic Outreach Leadership, the roles and resources provided by DOL, Disabled Veterans Outreach Program, DVOP Specialists, and also the Department of Labor Local Veterans Employment Representative. You may have heard them referred to as LEVERS. DOL funds these positions, which are located throughout the American Jobs Center system. And if you don't already know who your local DGOP and LEBOR staff are, I suggest that you go to that website that I just referenced, go to the state and local contacts, and there's an instruction on how to find these positions in your local area. And I suggest that you check into them before the February 5th call and maybe even make some contacts. So with that, Michelle, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Thank you, Charlene, and we look forward to your updates. And during our next All-EN call for your update, we will show everyone where they can find the information on our website. We just don't have time today to add that update. Desiree Fitzgerald, we have a presentation or just a few comments from you this afternoon on the ticket portal.
Thanks, Michelle. Good afternoon, everyone. We wanted to keep you up to date on what we're doing here regarding the new ticket portal and also what we expect you all are doing to prepare for it. We have a release coming up this month. It'll be on January 17th. The portal, which is actually just providing query capability now, will have some additional capability, and there will be some fixes there based on what we've learned from folks using it and from experience here. But there will be an ability to request a payment through the portal and some other things. We do want to have another phase of having people begin using the portal, and you can contact your EN Services branch representative if you are one of the folks who are going to be interested in using the portal and participating in the pilot. We are going to be getting folks in sooner than we expected. I believe we may have said we were going to have rollout happening later rather than sooner, but we think that we will be able to start getting folks in March, and it won't be considered pilot. We'll be converting folks from the current portal to the new portal. So we'll give more details as we develop them concerning that. But we would need you to continue to pursue getting your MySSA.gov registration. Your Social Security, your Social Security accounts, so that you can enter the portal. Also, if you haven't clarified your standing or suitability, or have any other outstanding issues about that, your services branch representatives can help you. There are resource documents available to you on the website, whether you go through the Choose Work or the Your Ticket to Work access points, but you, as the service provider link, you can get to the Information Center, and then you can get to resource documents, and there are a couple of modules that Maximus has posted that will give you information related to registering for the MySSA account and or getting the extra security if you just need to do that piece. But please let us know if you have any difficulty preparing for the portal. Remember that there were set browsers and the registration and the suitability the various points that we've been highlighting for you each month. And we'll just keep you abreast and let you know if there are other things that come up in the meantime. But we will be continuing to build it. There will be systems releases each month, January, February, and March, and we expect to have a good product for you at that point. And we'll continue to work on it and perfect it after that. But we would like to have a larger number of people in there than we expected in after the March release right away. So hopefully you'll be ready so that you can participate.
Thank you, Desiree. Thank you, Desiree. And it's time once again for all of our ENs to participate and submit the Annual Performance Outcome Report, APOR. Mark Green?
Oh, thank you. Actually, I'm going to start with an update on the marketing CD. I'll be brief. please bear with me. Some of you heard me say this yesterday. Others heard me say the exact same thing a month ago, but it's important. On December 2nd, I'm sure you all know, our Associate Commissioner David Weaver sent out a message indicating three significant changes to the ticket program, including significant changes to the marketing CD. Again, David was very concerned about our vulnerability with so many millions of records on the CD, particularly since experience has shown us that most of those records of beneficiaries represent beneficiaries who are not likely to go back to work. So we said there would be no CD in December. There will be one this month on about the 20th. Before then, you'll receive another message, probably from David Weaver, with some details and some additional information. So let me just go over the changes to the beneficiary CD quickly. CD will be limited to beneficiaries that fall into four major categories. One, beneficiaries who were newly added to the rolls, who just became eligible for benefits, either the month before or 2 months before. We will clarify that in the next message. Second, beneficiaries who have earnings in the previous 3 months, any of the previous 3 months before you received the CD. Third, any beneficiary who's had a successful VR closure at any time that we had that closure on our records. We're considering limiting that to some time frame, but not to this first one. And lastly, beneficiaries, this is new, have had their tickets unassigned in the last 18 months. I've expressed a couple of times. We think these are pretty good leads. Beneficiaries have had some interest and for some whatever reason were not able to continue in the program. In addition, we will be able to tell you which beneficiaries either have or are about to receive a call from the BAS, an auto dialer call from the BAS in that month. And when the tickets start up again in April, that exciting news we've talked about a couple of times, we'll be able to flag that for you in some way also, but we'll deal with that then. So look for a message in a week or so with this information, and a very important repeat or reminder, that can't be repeated too frequently. You already know this. It's in your contract that you have to destroy each previous month's CD and the data it contained when you receive the current one. So that's three times I've said the same thing. The fourth time will be in a blast in a week or so. This does significantly reduce the number of records in the CD. I know it's going to seem like we are reducing your marketing opportunities from, if you're a national EN, from like, whatever, 12 million to probably something under 400,000. But the reality is 90-something percent of those beneficiaries are just never going back to work. And we think these key categories provide actually an enhanced opportunity for you to do targeted mailing and save your resources and money. And briefly on the A4, the annual fund we have every year, A4 is to be released on January 31st. For a couple of additional questions, we thought of a couple of additional pieces of information we can use to help manage the program. I cannot stress this enough. This is a contractual requirement for you to complete and send in the APOR. And I know I'm speaking for the OSM. I'm certainly speaking for those of us in Social Security. We spend way too much time at the beginning of every calendar year chasing after ENs who do not respond to the EN. So please, it doesn't take long. Please complete it as soon as you get it and send it back to the address that the OSM sends to you. We would all appreciate it. Thank you very much. Michelle, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Mark. And we're looking forward to that blast on the marketing CD. That's a lot of good information in that. Moving on to effective practice calls for topics, Donna DeJulis.
Thank you, Michelle, and hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. I will try to keep this brief. As Charlene Dwyer indicated earlier, especially coming up on February 5th, we are making room for some other information that's coming out to you. So that has allowed me to extend the submission deadline for an effective practice to close of business Friday, February 27th. So you do have a little extra time to develop your effective practice and submit to me. And, of course, as always, please feel free to email me or call me if you need assistance, and I'll be glad to work with it on you. So please get your effective practices in. We will develop the schedule for the remainder of the year, and we know there's some great stuff going on out there, so please share it and submit. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Donna, and thank you for that announcement for extending the call for papers. We are at the hour. We know that we started a little after, so we are going to table the update on the Section 503 to give an opportunity for our callers to call in for the next 5 minutes at the most to take any pending questions. We do have several questions in the chat line that we will respond to and send over to Bass regarding the survey results. Roger, do we have any question that you want to share now that we can respond to?
Yeah, actually I do, Michelle. The first one and several questions actually are directed towards the APOR. Specifically, when is it due, when it will be mailed out?
Mark? Oh, it will be mailed out in January, but as far as when is it due, it's usually due back by the end of February. Mark Green, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I just heard you. It's being mailed up January 31st, and I think you have a month to do it.
Okay.
If anyone else on the line, you can confirm that.
And it is sent to the signature authority and the E and other. So two copies are released to each EN of record. Operator, do we have any questions from our callers?
Yes, our first question comes from the line of Susan Webb. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Hey, Mark, when about the CD, you said that the CD is going to include four different categories. Will we be able to tell on the CD which category each individual falls within?
Yes. And I confirm there will be instructions with each CD that will explain all of these details. And we will include that in the blast that we're sending out. So it should be perfectly clear to you. If it's not, I don't think I have to say this to you, Susan. Please let us know because we want this to be as useful as possible.
Great. That's great. Thank you for that. And I also want to thank Michael Greenberg for such a thorough presentation. And I really appreciate the expansion of the satisfaction survey. You guys asked a lot of great questions. And I do have one recommendation on that. You know what would be really good is to do a survey, a satisfaction survey of ENs and how we're doing and what challenges we have. I know that's not mandated by law, but it might be something really interesting to find out. That's it. Again, Happy New Year. Look forward to a great 2015.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. You too. Do we have any other questions on from our callers, operator?
There seems to be no questions at this time.
Great. Then we will conclude the call for today. We really appreciate all of you that called in. And speakers, I'm turning it back to you if any of you have any last-minute comments you would like to say in wrapping up the call today. Hearing none? All right. Thank you. And, again, Happy New Year and have a great evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.